You know, sometimes I think it's important to hear a woman's perspective, a woman's take on things. And the thought, this following sermon was written by a friend of mine that we were friends in seminary. That was like 34 years ago. And she's been a priest for about that length of time. She serves a parish in Juneau, Alaska. So, Carolyn Frey, thank you very much. And so I begin. The story of the death of John the Baptist is a famous narrative. It's inspired lots of movies and art, and even an opera. These famous recreations of the story focus on Herod's daughter's dance, you know, the seven veils and all of that, or Herod's evil nature, or even on the gruesome head on a platter. So it can be difficult to sift through all of the glamour and the gore to find good news in this passage. I mean, after all, what good can be found in the story of a gruesome murder? But let's try. In our reading, Mark takes us to a flashback of the scene of Herod's birthday banquet. Now, we don't get too much information on our characters, but we know that Herod's wife does not like John because he criticized her decision to marry her brother-in-law. In fact, she dislikes him so much that she wants to kill him. Now, you might wonder how John the Baptist lived so long if Herod's wife wanted to kill him. But the situation is more complex. You see, there is some degree of understanding between Herod and John the Baptist. St. Mark tells us that Herod feared John and knew that he was a righteous and holy man. Therefore, Herod protected him. And St. Mark goes on to tell us that Herod heard John speak often, and he enjoyed it, even though John's words perplexed him. So this information about Herod and John's connection paints a fuller picture. The scene is less black and white than originally it seemed. Herod, in some ways, likes John the Baptist, and he wants to protect him. So the question arises then, why did he kill him? And you know, this is where I actually start to feel a little bad for Herod. I mean, he's caught in a web of complex personal and social relationships. He wants to please his wife, but if he pleases her, he will kill a righteous and holy man. He also wants to seem like a generous ruler to the Galilean society, but still look powerful to the rest of the kingdom. Now, he's taken aback by his daughter's grotesque request for his head on a platter. But he does it anyway. And of course, he wants to follow his own beliefs and protect the man that he believes is some sort of a prophet. Basically, he's trying to please many different groups of people and find a way to still keep his integrity. Now, this is a position that many of us can relate to. How many of us have to make decisions every day that affects different groups of people? And how often do we feel like nobody's happy with our decision? Or do we feel that everyone else is happy except us? Because of our conscience, it bothers us. We're all faced with decisions every day, some smaller and some larger. We'll be faced with decisions like these. How do we deal with our child who is having a tantrum in a grocery store? Now, I remind you, this sermon was written by a woman. She knows what that's like. And if you go to try to quiet the child down and discipline it, some people are going to say, boy, she's too strict. And other people are going to say, well, she's not strict enough. She should discipline that child. She can't win. Or what is the best way to ask time off from work for an important family event? And at work, who should we be friends with? You know how it goes. Well, who does she think she is? She's friends with her, not with me. Should we look at our classmate's answer to a difficult question on a test over there? And on a larger scale, we might wonder who we should vote for in a national election. These are the kinds of decisions that we face every day. And that's why the line, "but an opportunity came," helps me find grace in this passage. Now, even though on the surface, this opportunity probably refers to Herod's chance to get revenge on John the Baptist, it also presents an opportunity for Herod to choose grace and to stand up against a decision that he knows is wrong, even at the risk of disappointing a loved one. Because really, every decision we make is an opportunity for grace. We can choose to let grace in, or we can reject it. And this is what we learn from Herod's choice. Herod had an opportunity to welcome grace into his situation, and yet he rejected it. He chose to satisfy the group of people around him and not his own conscience. And this is something else that we all can relate to. Have you ever made a decision where you felt like you caved in to social pressure at the expense of your own moral compass? I know I certainly have. In fact, I do it all the time. When reflecting on the times when I made decisions to please those around me and did not follow my own conscience, I thought most about the times when I gossiped about others. Because gossip is such an easy trap to fall into. Looking at my life, I often use gossip to get closer to certain people. Because complaining about those around us is a very quick way to make a connection with somebody else. And I often do this, even though I know it's not the right thing to do. But this is the gift of this gospel reading. It calls us to think about our decisions. If we frame every decision we make as a chance to let grace into our lives, then we might make different decisions. It's easy to make choices to please the people around us, but as we learn from Herod's choice, this is not always the right thing to do. Herod had an opportunity for grace, but he decided against it. He decided to kill John the Baptist. So let's learn from Herod's mistake. Before we make a decision, let us ask if we are making our decision for ourselves, to protect ourselves, or to look good in the eyes of others. Or are we doing it to build up the kingdom of God? Personally, I'd rather build up the kingdom, even if it means missing out on some really good gospel.